Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Waiting. You do it at grocery stores, in traffic, and at the doctor's office. But what if you could skip the wait altogether? Introducing TrustCare Plus, a healthcare membership that makes feeling better even faster. Skip the waiting room and enjoy priority access at any TrustCare clinic. Sick kid? Text your care crew day or night. Get discounts on prescriptions and so much more. Wait no more. Feeling better just got a whole lot faster. Join TrustCare Plus today. Plans start from just $15 a month. Learn more at TrustCareHealth.com/plus.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, new edition of the Eagle Hour, Monday edition, I should say, back on the air. We're glad you're with us. We're broadcasting from the Southern Bancorp Studio in Hattiesburg. Bob Kelly and Andrew, another week of Golden Eagle Sports Talk coming your way. Opening segment sponsored by Dickey's Barbecue Pit, great supporters of the Southern Miss Athletic Department. And, of course, great place to take your family for dinner tonight, the delicious restaurant. Great place to cater your next event, too, whether it be large or small. We strongly recommend you check out Dickey's. All right, well, baseball is over. We're happy to have Chris Bergen on the show today. Chris is one of the play-by-play voices at Coastal Carolina University. And, Chris, before I officially welcome you to the show, I want to read a statement that was released by the university this morning, and this is regarding the fact that two of your coaches were ejected in the first inning of the basically national championship game yesterday. And I read this, I quote, "Our program and our student athletes deserved better. They deserved the opportunity to compete for a national championship with their leaders, and they were denied that opportunity." Unfortunate, I think, Chris, and obviously you disagree with me if you choose, but Coastal had such a tremendous run, such a great game with LSU in the opening 1-0 game. For the second game to be overshadowed by the behavior of the umpire who ejected both your head coach and first base coach in the first inning yesterday, your thoughts and what's the scuttlebutt there at Coastal Carolina today?
Well, first off, guys, appreciate the time. Good to be back with you guys talking a little baseball. Yeah, obviously disappointing, and for a lot of different angles. We'll start with Coastal's statement that Chance Miller, the new AD, sent out today. I can't disagree with anything he said. You sort of take away the heart and soul of your team when you bench your coach and your first base coach in the first inning. And Matt Schilling probably doesn't get the publicity that Kevin Snall does, but Matt Schilling has been with this program, gosh, 25 or so years, and the guys just absolutely love him. So you take him and then coach out of the mix all off the bat. And I thought Coach Snall handled it perfectly, and I give him a lot of credit in the postgame last night. First off, I was surprised that the NCAA invited him in to the postgame. I thought Chad Oxendine, who took over the team after Coach was tossed, would actually be the guy who came in. But Coach came in and answered questions, and I thought his sort of wrap-up statement about it where he said, as an umpire, I feel it's your job to manage the game, the national championship game. And I loved his words. He said, with some poise, some calmness, and a little bit of tolerance. And I think that was the biggest problem Angel Campos had. First off, if you watched it when Kevin Snow is coming out, he's trying to figure out exactly what's going on. It's a big stage, loud stadium, obviously a huge LSU contingent there, so it's basically a road game for Coastal. And I'm just not sure that Kevin Snow actually heard what Angel Campos was trying to tell him. And then when he comes out further to get clarification, now probably telling him that he'd already missed three calls in the top of the first is maybe not the best way to go about it. But I think he was just trying to get clarification. And I think that's the situation where you've got to have a little poise. You've got to have a little tolerance and say, Coach, here's the deal. Go back in the dugout. We'll talk. And you never had that situation. The coach talked about last night. He said, I've never been shooed away by a grown man. I'm a 48-year-old grown man, and that's the first time I've ever been shooed, his term, by a grown man. So, yeah, I just thought it was a bad scenario to start what turned out to be a really good ball game. And unfortunately for folks who are just tuning in to college baseball, and that's their only glimpse of college baseball, I don't think they got a real good picture of how wonderful the sport is, because the talk, as you guys pointed out, is all on the umpire and not how good LSU was for two games.
Well, I want to add two things to make everybody angrier. Well, first off, if we're following the rules, sure, Angel Campos, whatever. I mean, if we're going off of the straight-up rules, but there's obviously baseball etiquette, you know, there's better ways to handle it. But I wanted to point out, number one, I actually agree with Kevin Schnall. I thought he did miss three pitches very clearly leading up to that. But also, there was a certain coach last year by the name of Tony Vitello at Tennessee who comes out of the dugout every game, particularly in the national championship last year, that was arguing balls and strikes. And, yeah, I just
– Well, he didn't get tossed.
No, he did not.
Could it be his conference affiliation? Is that possible?
I'm not one to insinuate things. Oh, okay. But, I mean, Chris, is it fair to say that double standard at the very least could be insinuated?
I think that's absolutely fair, because could you have imagined had this been Jay Johnson? Same scenario, but Jay Johnson comes down to the LSU dugout and argues, and he's tossed and the first base coach is tossed. Could you only imagine what the storyline would have been, especially if Coastal had won the game yesterday? I mean, the whole place, there were jokes about how, you know, there'd be riots almost in the streets if that had happened. And unfortunately, Coastal's on the bad end of this scenario. But yeah, no, I think there was probably a scenario you can make the strong argument that the SEC got a little bit of favoritism yesterday in this scenario where it was unnecessary. I mean, I thought LSU was terrific for two ball games, and unfortunately, as I mentioned earlier, that's not what we're talking about today and probably won't be for the next couple of days. It's going to be about how poorly the bottom of the first was umpired.
Is there any clarification on the suspensions? Because Kevin Schnall, at least the way it would have ended is that I think he'll get two games, first base coach
Correct.
Will get three. But I think they went back and changed their statement about him bumping the umpire and the guy who fell over. I think they might lower his suspension because of that. I wasn't certain. Have you heard anything on that yet?
I have not heard an update on the suspensions as of the statement that the NCAA sent out midway through the game yesterday. Coach Schnall would miss the first two games of next year, and Coach Schilling would miss the first three. Now, I agree. I think they probably need to go back and take away the two games, either off, I'm assuming, off of Coach Schnall, because he did not bump the umpire. As he pointed out, it's not his responsibility to be legislated by the athleticism of another grown man, because he did not bump into him. If you look, the umpire just tripped, and I think Coach was right. He was embarrassed by that scenario, especially with a full house watching him, and so he figured his only recourse was to add a couple of games suspension to Coach Schnall, which I thought was totally unnecessary. And I hope at some point in time, if it's not already come out, that will be overturned, because I think that's the right thing to do.
Chris, one of the things that I wanted to mention is, just as an outsider looking in, if I'm the head of the NCAA and I'm trying to hire a crew for a game of this magnitude, I am certainly, I know nothing about this home plate umpire, but I have learned about his, shall we say, checkered past in his career choice. I would never hire that guy because of that. I would want nothing in somebody's past to ever be called into question. And the fact that, you know, we're all human, we have good days and bad days, and he clearly did not have a good day, but that's just stacked on top of everything else that happened. I think the NCAA has to take some responsibility for what happened yesterday.
I think there's a lot to that. And, you know, it's funny, especially in our state, Angel Campos is not well liked up at Clemson either, because 2 years ago in the Clemson regional, he was working the game and actually tossed Cam Cannarella, their star center fielder, out of the matchup with Tennessee, which also suspended Cannarella for the regional, it was the loser's bracket game afterwards. And so Cannarella didn't play. Clemson lost that game too. So our state does not have a really good history with Angel Campos. And guys, I've always longed for this, and it's not just baseball, but I think it's true of basketball. I think it's true of football. What I would like to see, and I think this goes to the, you know, credibility of umpires and referees, I would love for them to have to come into the postgame press conference and answer questions just like the players and coaches do. I think if Angel Campos has to come in yesterday and explain his actions. Maybe we're not sitting here talking. Maybe he explained it perfectly and says, look, this is what I did. It's because of what I did, and it's because of what Kevin Snow and Matt Schillig did. That's why they were ejected. And then everybody says, okay, well, that makes sense. But we never get that opportunity because the NCAA, the NFL, whomever, always shield officials from public criticism.
Yeah, one of the political debates in this country has been for 3 or 4 years is that, quote-unquote, no one is above the law. Mm-hmm. Okay, I hear that. But to your point, that's pretty much what all the leagues are telling us, is that officials are above the law. They don't have to answer to anybody publicly for their actions.
Yeah, and that's always bothered me. I mean, they make mistakes, as you pointed out. I mean, they're human, and they're going to make mistakes. And if they explain them, maybe he didn't make a mistake. Maybe he, by the letter of the law, got it exactly right yesterday. But we'll never know, and so that just opens you up for more criticism. And you've got people on the coastal side who think it's fixed. The NCAA was hoping that the SEC could win it sixth in a row. You've got LSU fans on their side coming out and saying Kevin Snell's a hothead. He deserved everything. You know, you can end all of that debate and all that discourse by just having the official. You don't have to bring him in every game. I mean, there was no reason to bring anybody in after game one, except for Kate Anderson. Just saw with him and how good he was. But when that's part of the story, you've got to have the official or somebody come in there and explain things to the media.
Hey, we're talking to Chris Bergen, Coastal Carolina University, as the Chanticleers come up two games short of winning another national championship. I can tell you that the Southern Miss Nation was behind Coastal. I'm sure the entire league was. And I want to talk to Chris on the other side of the break about what can we do to get Coastal and Southern Miss head-to-head every year in league play. We're going to continue our conversation with Chris Bergen on the other side of this Super Talk Eagle Hour break. Stay with us.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Hey, Southern Miss fans, TrustCare Health is proud to support the Golden Eagles and help keep our community in top shape. Whether you're cheering at the Rock or the Peak, TrustCare has your back with convenient walk-in clinics and top-notch care for your urgent primary and kids' care needs. From game day injuries to everyday health needs, TrustCare is your go-to team. Visit us in Hattiesburg and Laurel, and let's keep the spirit of Southern Miss soaring to the top. Visit TrustCareHealth.com for more details. TrustCare Health. Feel better, faster.
The Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, welcome back. Super Talk Eagle Hour on the air. Campus Bookmart sponsoring this segment of the program, campusbookmart.net. Don't forget about MCS Home Center in Bellevue, 7329 U.S. 98 West in Hattiesburg. New facility, great business. Everything you need for building a home, remodeling a home, improving your home, making a garden, improving your lawn, all the kind of things that Kelly Sander looks eagerly to do every day after work. Cutting grass, building storage sheds, back porches.
I think the key word was look, Bob. I look to do it.
Actually, you just watch people do that on the HGTV channel, don't you, Kelly?
That's about it for me, buddy.
Yeah. Hey, don't forget about our podcast, Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube, or you can tell Alexa or Siri to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour. We're visiting with Chris Bergen at Coastal Carolina University. All right, Chris, we'll move on past the umpires. Obviously a great year for a Coastal, tremendous run there toward the end of the season. And I'm not saying, don't misunderstand this, I'm not saying that had Southern Miss and Coastal had a chance to compete over the weekend in a weekend series that the outcome of the regular season would have been different. I'm not implying that, but we'll never know. But from a Southern Miss standpoint, it was very frustrating to be chasing Coastal all year and not have a chance to play them. And our conversations before we went on the air, I gather you and the people at Coastal agree that it's a no-brainer that the two baseball programs should be squared up every year in league play.
Well, first off, Kelly, I admire you because I hate yard work, especially at this time of year. If I can't get it done by about 8 o'clock in the morning, I'm not even trying. But so props to you, my friend. But, no, guys, I think it would be great to have Coastal and Southern Miss play in a weekend series year in and year out. And I was telling you during the break, back when South Carolina's baseball team was one of the dominant teams in the country, the SEC, to me, missed a golden opportunity to have them and LSU play every year. They would play on occasion, but they didn't meet every year, which I thought they needed to. And if you're the Sun Belt, I think it's fairly obvious who your best two programs, top three programs in our league are. It's you guys, it's certainly Coastal, and it's probably Troy, and then Louisiana. I mean, you can look, and I think you can find three or four weekends that you can schedule all those teams to play each other. And I think it's a huge benefit for the league. It draws fans to the league. I mean, I can't imagine how it would be. I know how it would be here. I can't imagine what it would be in Hattiesburg if Coastal had rolled into town maybe the last week of the regular season with the regular season championship on the line, top seed in the tournament, and perhaps, you know, a national seed on the line, how great that series would have been. Instead, we get to see you guys one time during the season, and that was in the tournament championship game. I think the Sun Belt really dropped the ball on the scheduling this year.
And obviously that is a Keith Gill question as commissioner of the Sun Belt, but it just makes entirely too much sense, as I just can't come up with a reason as to why that doesn't happen. And again, not just in the Sun Belt, but in all the leagues, you pretty much know who's going to be strong and who's had a history of being strong. And if a program hits a dry spell, then you fade them out of the schedule and move the new guy on the block in. It would not seem to be that difficult.
No, I would agree. And it's even in this transfer portal era, where you're going to have a situation where one team will rise up because they hit on a bunch of guys to be able to fill the holes and they turn into a overnight success. I don't think you're going to see Southern Miss and Coastal. Let's just take our two programs. I don't see those two programs falling off the face of the earth after this year. They both should play next year. I think we've only played 8 times total, I think, since you guys joined the Sun Belt, and they've all come as members of the league. I just think that the conference is missing an opportunity here to promote the league, promote how good baseball is, and it would probably help the RPI of both teams as well if you put them head-to-head, because you're talking about two teams that would have been top 25 RPI. That can only benefit the league on down the road in terms of getting other teams in, because, look, this year I thought the league deserved at least 3, and I was surprised Troy didn't get a bid. Maybe you help the conference's RPI by playing the top teams in our league maybe more frequently.
Chris Bergen, I know one of the things that all teams talk about is their goal is to win the national championship, to go to Omaha and play in the World Series. But now that it's over with, and a guy who bleeds teal like you do, could you have even imagined that your guys would have pitched the ball as well as they did this year? They were, as a staff, throwing it, dude.
Not to the degree as to how good they were number 2 nationally in terms of team ERA. I did have a little inside that they were going to be pretty good. I'm not around the baseball program as frequently as Joe Katz is, who is the radio voice of the baseball program. But I'm over there enough, especially at the tail end of football season and, you know, when basketball and transition season goes along, when they're starting to go through the fall. And coming out of fall, I think they all believe that if Morrison was totally healed from his Tommy John surgery, they thought Cameron Flukie would be outstanding. They knew what they had in Riley Eichhoff. He's a veteran senior that's pitched in a lot of regionals. They knew they could be good. Now, I'm not sure even Kevin Snow and Matt Williams would have told you they would be as good as they were. And I think a lot of that credit also needs to go to Matt Williams, who came over from South Carolina with the regime change over in Columbia when Paul Maneri came in to take over. He did not keep Williams, and considering how poorly the Gamecocks pitched did this year versus how well the Chanticleers pitched did this year, that may have been a mistake. But USC's loss is certainly CCU's gain, and Matt Williams, I thought, did a heck of a job with that pitching staff this year.
Were you surprised as to the success Kevin Snall had this year? I mean, I know he's been with the program, but a first-year head coach is a first-year head coach. Regime change happened. I mean, were you surprised by what he was able to do in year one?
Certainly, I'd be lying if I told you they could reel off 56 wins and set the program record for most wins in a single season win 26 straight, all that stuff, and then nobody saw it coming. But in terms of just overall success, yeah, I believed he could have it, because here's a guy who's been the recruiting coordinator under Gary Gilmore for as long as he had. So he knew all the players that he was coaching. He brought, you know, for the most part, he brought all those guys in. So he understood exactly what he was getting in terms of the players. And then also the culture never really changed. I mean, if you watch Coastal play last year versus Coastal playing this year, there's really not a whole lot of difference in terms of style of play and how they did things. So I think the plans were already in place for him to be successful. Now, I'm not going to tell you, as I mentioned, that they were going to win 56 games, but I thought clearly they could be an NCAA tournament team going into the year.
When you talk about sports generally, Chris, everybody at Southern Miss now, a big collective depression because baseball season is over. And now, of course, a new football coach has come in. A lot of new players have come in. But last football season wasn't really great for us. So we've got kind of mixed emotions going forward now. Coastal kind of has that in common with Southern Miss as well, right? Baseball season's over. Now we have to get used to the fact that football's next.
Yeah, and football's coming off a disappointing campaign last year. Just won 6 ball games. Really didn't perform all that well, even in the wins. There were areas that you were concerned, plus then they showed up and didn't really play at all in the Myrtle Beach Bowl and got embarrassed by UTSA. Now an entirely new coaching staff on the defensive side comes in, new DC, new offensive coordinator, a bunch of new assistants on the defensive staff. So Tim Beck has tried to retool the coaching staff, and obviously, as you guys well know, he's going to have to retool the playing staff as well, because we lost a ton of guys. The only quarterback we've got returning is Tad Hudson, whose only game experience after transferring from North Carolina, where he redshirted, was in the bowl game. So he's pretty green and raw in terms of his knowledge. And now that you have a new offensive coordinator, he's learning a new system. Braden Bennett, our best running back, is now going to play for Virginia Tech. So I have no idea. We met with the coordinators a couple of weeks ago, and they said all the right things. But we won't know until game one against Virginia. I'm not sure just exactly what Coastal has on the football field this year.
Chris, we really appreciate your time, man. Good conversation, and congratulations to the university. Magnificent baseball season, no matter how it ended yesterday. And a lot to be proud of there. And I think I speak for everybody when I say Coastal represented the baseball league very, very well.
Guys, I appreciate that. That's very kind. The university, I know, will appreciate those kind of words and the support we got from you guys in the Sun Belt throughout the postseason. And always a pleasure to sit and talk some Chanticleer sports with you guys, and look forward to hearing, gosh, about a month's time when we all get together down in New Orleans for Sun Belt Football Media Day.
Now, Chris, if we do play you in baseball next year, you understand we're going to gut you like a fish.
I understand that. I would expect nothing less.
Okay. Hey, Chris, thank you, buddy. We appreciate you, man.
You're quite welcome. Thank you, guys.
Chris Bergen, everybody, from Coastal Carolina. Understandably, these folks out there are upset today. Understandably so.
Well, and they're handling it better than I am.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't really have any skin in the game, but come on.
Well, I think the infuriating part, particularly for fan bases of the non-Power Four, is you're just sick of, you know, there's an obvious double standard. There's favoritism. I mean, I'm normally one to leave the broadcasters alone, but, like, you know, I mean, they just went on and on and on about LSU, and, I mean, it was just very clear that the powers that be would have preferred LSU.
You made a great point. I didn't know until you had pointed it out that only LSU players had parents.
Yeah.
Coastal was an entire team of orphans. It's quite amazing.
Yeah.
We didn't see one Coastal parent on the broadcast.
Not even like a story about.
We even saw the LSU dogs that were at the game.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
28 cameras there, all on the LSU folks.
Well, they won, so I guess they called it right?
He makes a great point. I mean, it was just so obvious. It was at one point, my wife looked at me and said, is Coastal playing?
Boy, you left me wide open for a joke about LSU dogs. Aren't you proud that I just left it alone?
Don't do it.
You know, those people are pretty wiry. They'll be showing up here at the studio. We'll be back.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
4th Street Bar and Grill sponsors this segment of the Eagle Hour. It's a great place to have lunch 5 days a week. Enjoy a good meal down there at night. Always plenty of athletic events on the TVs at 4th Street Bar and Grill. Great camaraderie and just a bunch of good guys to hang out with. So we hope that everybody will support 4th Street, as well as Genesis of Hattiesburg, the official auto dealer of the Eagle Hour, where you'll find sedans and SUVs as fine as anywhere. You can visit their beautiful showroom. It's on Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg. I want to thank Chris Bergen from Coastal Carolina University for joining us. And, okay, Andrew, you've got a little well, first of all, let's talk about the final top 25 baseball rankings.
Yeah, so Baseball America, as well as D1 Baseball, put out their final top 25. I'm just going to read off D1 Baseball, sure, since that's the one nationally recognized. I will spoil it. Well, I'll wait for the spoiler. So, all right. Want to guess who's number one?
The home plate umpire. Angel.
There you go. LSU 1, Coastal Carolina 2, Arkansas 3, Oregon State 4, UCLA 5, Louisville 6, Arizona 7, Murray State is number 8.
Good for them.
North Carolina 9, Florida State 10, Auburn 11, Tennessee 12, UTSA number 13.
Mm.
This is the only team I disagree with on here. West Virginia at number 14, who I felt performed the poorest in the Supers. Duke comes in at 15, Miami 16. Texas is at number 17, Vanderbilt 18, Georgia 19, Oregon 20, and this will make some people mad, Ole Miss 21, Southern Miss 22. Clemson 23, Georgia Tech 24, UC Irvine number 25, and spoilers, Baseball America has Southern Miss at 21.
After ignoring Southern Miss all year, Baseball America ranks them a spot ahead. That makes
a lot
of sense.
I'm sure Perfect Game still doesn't have them ranked.
Yeah, but how could all of these guys, and again, this is just for entertainment and it sells publications or clicks or whatever you want to call it these days, but how could they have been so wrong about Vanderbilt all year long? I mean, number one, number one, number one, and now the final, they're 18th.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think because this year was, I mean, I think we'll all agree, this year was very, although LSU ended up winning it in the end, it was a very, like, anybody could have won it this year. There was a lot more, I felt like transparency. And we saw that when all these host teams started losing because they were the typical, you know, top 25 teams. And it just, you know, I just think this was kind of a wilder year in college baseball. Again, having said all that, one of the Blue Bloods won it. So.
But you did mean that one of the SEC teams could win it, not just anybody could win it.
Yeah, I guess so.
Look, I know what SEC people, if they're any that listen to this show, are saying about us right now. Old sour grapes, blah, 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 blah. But honestly, Andrew, as a guy that covers this for a living, I mean the favoritism and the bias toward them is just so apparent. You've either got to be a blind LSU or not LSU, a blind SEC fan, or you're just not being honest to say that they get every benefit of the doubt.
I mean, I won't say every, but sometimes, yeah, it's very apparent. It just felt very apparent, and at least for me watching the broadcast. I'm never going to say the games are fixed. I can't say that.
Right. I'm not saying that.
But, yeah, I mean, we see it in the committees, you know, and not just baseball. We see it in basketball, although it's if you're a P4, there's obvious bias. I mean, we've known this for decades.
But what is most sad about that statement is they don't need any help. They have a lot of these teams, a lot of the, including LSU. Chris Bergen was so gracious to say that all this other peripheral stuff that was going on, it almost cheapens what LSU did on the field,
yeah,
in reality. Mm-hmm. It's cheapening what the LSU players did. Mm-hmm. They don't need any help. They can win it on their own. And I just think that it does. It puts an asterisk, or it just taints any type of victory that any SEC team has when there is a perception of impropriety.
And yeah, well, LSU had the, like, I know LSU fans him and hawed that Coastal had the easier side of the Omaha bracket.
Oh, come on.
And maybe there's a little truth to that. Yeah. But, God, I don't think a team had an easier road to Omaha in the country.
No, it should have been sponsored by the Little Debbie Cake Company. I mean, it was just ridiculous.
I mean, their regional was by far the easiest.
Rhode Island and Arkansas Little Rock, Andrew,
and
West Virginia.
And it was not the best. I didn't think Dallas Baptist was deserving of a two seed, quite frankly. I thought they should have been a three. It was not their best team in recent years, and it was apparent that they had a very easy road. And West Virginia, I think, was the worst super regional. I don't know how West Virginia made it to the Super.
Well, in case you guys didn't hear it in the 471 times they said it yesterday, it is their eighth national championship. I don't know if you caught that during the broadcast at any point.
I don't know. I'm kind of like Andrew. The broadcast team I thought was so poor. It kind of a lot of the stuff went in one ear and out the other.
And I will give them credit. I mean, they did in the pregames, the first pregame, not the second one. I mean, they were quick to point out that this is like Coastal Carolina is not Cinderella. Like, this is a team that has been here before. They're a consistent program. You know, I want to give them props to where it's due. But I do think it was interesting how, going back to the umpire call, man, when every writer on D1Baseball.com, and these guys are very down the road, in the middle, man, when they are calling for, like, the like, it felt like they were calling for the umpire in the NCAA to no end on online the other day. I mean, I was kind of mind blown because they normally never do that.
Yeah.
And I want, and before Andrew's going to be leaving us for an extended period of time here as he does some world gallivanting.
Vacation. I need it.
He's a world traveler. You didn't know that when we hired him, did
the
you?
Northern part
Neither
of
did
the
I.
Yeah. Yeah. Northern part of the United States.
You chartering, Andrew?
No.
Then, okay. then he's going over to Europe.
Unless somebody wants to, you know, save me some dough. I don't mind.
He's either wanted by the IRS, or he's just taking some time off. Anyway,
probably the IRS.
All right. So before you leave, Andrew, let's talk now about Southern Miss guys. We're getting a little more bits and pieces as to who the Eagles are probably going to lose.
Yep.
Okay.
Not looking good.
And see, I really thought, and I'll back it up, that I thought that there was a chance the Eagles would get Cook back next year. But now, from what we're hearing from the combine, and Andrew can fill in some blanks, Cook is on everybody's radar with a bullet. I mean, he's like a Michael Jackson record. He is shooting to the top
in a lot of
teams.
I thought he would be the second Golden Eagle taken in the draft behind, I think JB is going to be in the 30th range. But he left a major impression at the MLB draft combine, which he was one of two Golden Eagles to. And what I hate about the combine is they don't release the full results.
Right.
I don't understand that. It's one thing if you're hosting it at the school and you're not releasing it. Sure, put the whole damn thing out there. Anyway,
yeah.
So Jay Cook ran. He tied the MLB draft combine record in the 30-yard dash. He ran a 3.50, which just ties the record. And then he quote smoked the all-time broad jump record at 128 inches. Couldn't tell you what the actual record was. Either way, those are incredible numbers, and I don't think Jay Cook will be back. I mean, look, Jay Cook, he has them all. The one thing he really doesn't have is power. I think if you put him in – I mean, that's teachable. That's easy to obtain,
and some weight and muscle
else.
And all that kind
of
stuff.
Yeah, and part of that is because he had dealt with injuries at Southern Miss, didn't have enough time to swing a bat like these other guys have, and we saw the power kind of come towards the end of the year. So – I mean, he's almost a five-tool guy. I mean,
just to explain for people that may not know, he's just a sophomore, correct?
Redshirt sophomore.
So how is he eligible for the draft?
He's a redshirt sophomore. It's his third year.
It's age.
Yes. Okay. 21 or 3 years in college.
I got you. Okay.
But a lot of the scouts, our sources have been telling us, were just, all of them use the term freak. Super athlete,
he is.
$6 million man, that there isn't anything athletically that this guy can't do.
He can run. We've seen his fielding. I mean, he's made incredible plays this year. By the way, because he was a pitcher when he signed, he throws 96, 97 from center field. I mean, he makes contact. He's a consistent hitter. Just add the power, and I mean, he's going to be an incredible player. And, you know, he's young. That's the other key part. That's why they like him so much. You could develop him quickly. You get him up there quick. He's going to be around for a while, potentially.
So you thought, Andrew, that, of course, everybody was in agreement that Middleton would go. Cook, we now is gone. Monastir, people think will go.
I think he's gone.
So Payne, Allen, and Stockman. What do you think?
Yeah, I think Payne is probably the only one I think that has a true chance of coming back. After that, I put it at Kobe Allen. I don't know on Stockman. I think he could. I know, and here's why on Stockman. Now, he's sure his first year last year, not not memorable, not bad, not great, but a catcher who hits 330.
Really solid player this year.
Yeah, I mean, he got better as the year went on, but a catcher who hits 330, scouts drool over that. Now, I don't. Now he's got 2 years left, so he could come back and potentially, no pun intended, or maybe pun intended, he could raise his stocks, man. So I think he does come back. But again, I you never know with the draft or what these guys are doing. A lot of the times, the towards the end, and they're looking for guys to draft, they put in a name in a computer, and there certain numbers pop up, and they go, ooh,
real
fits.
Quick, give me a percentage of Kobe Allen being back.
I think 50-50.
50-50. When are we going to know?
I told you, July. I've said it, July 13th.
Can't come soon.
13th to the 14th.
Yeah, but for Bob and me, a month is a long time at our age.
Then we move on from baseball, is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Eventually, Bob, you're going to have to accept the fact that football is next. Bob, are you there?
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Hey, Southern Miss fans, TrustCare Health is proud to support the Golden Eagles and help keep our community in top shape. Whether you're cheering at the Rock or the Peak, TrustCare has your back with convenient walk-in clinics and top-notch care for your urgent primary and kids' care needs. From game day injuries to everyday health needs, TrustCare is your go-to team. Visit us in Hattiesburg and Laurel, and let's keep the spirit of Southern Miss soaring to the top. Visit TrustCareHealth.com for more details. TrustCare Health. Feel better faster.
Southern Miss to the top.
To the top.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Hey, welcome back. Super Talk Eagle Hour. I want to thank Chris Bergen, Coastal Carolina, joining us a little earlier in the show. Hey, don't forget you can stay informed with the Pine Belt News. It's a go-to source for news and sports coverage in the Hattiesburg area. Also, their other publications, Signature Magazine. I'll be yours for just $35 a year if you live outside of Forest or Lamar counties, just $55 a year. And want to remind you about the Be Quick 60th anniversary. You can stop by the Be Quick Shell Station on the corner of 98 and Hegwood Road here in Hattiesburg. Get a free buffalo decal, place it on the back of your vehicle. Spotters will be looking for your decal to win. You can visit your favorite Be Quick and see if your vehicle has been spotted. Participants will have a chance to win a lot of great prizes, Saints football experience, Mossy Oak shopping spree, Royal Caribbean cruise for four, that sounds pretty good, or a Biloxi offshore fishing trip. Proud supporters of Southern Miss, Be Quick, celebrating their 60th anniversary.
And that's through the month of July, Bob, just through the month of July. So you've got until the end of July to get your Buffalo sticker on the back of your car.
And take your kids to DBAT on Hardy Street for baseball to softball training. Luke Reynolds, former Golden Eagle, and really great baseball player, former All-American. I was actually reading about that this morning. He's the manager at DBAT. They're located on Hardy Street, and it is a great place to take children for really state-of-the-art training for the sport of their choice.
You know, you were talking about the Saints football experience. I was hosting some trivia up in Jackson over the weekend, and one of the team names was 4th and 25. That was their team name, 4th and 25. I said, if you're a Saints fan, you better get used to hearing that this year.
Yeah, that's probably right.
And they got mad at me.
Well, it looks a little gloomy down in New Orleans.
Some of the people were going, dude, that just ain't right. Yeah. And I said, well, if you think Spencer Rattler's going to lead us to the promised land, I said, I don't know about that.
Like, we got Keller Bradford on the show tomorrow, is that
he
right?
He is. He is taking his new position at Liberty University in Lynchburg, Virginia. He's going to be the pitching coach there. So Coach Ostrander has, at least right now, a tentative opening.
Does that make room for Danny Lynch to become a paid assistant to Andrew, you think?
Well, that's what Coach Oz said on at least insinuated on Friday.
Yeah.
So I encourage people to go listen to last week's episode.
That's a good idea.
We asked about that.
Good idea.
I assume that's they could be giving more money to other people too, which I think would be. I mean, they'll have suitors for some of their.
Well, assistants. Just speaking for the women that sit around me every year at baseball, the women all over the town will be delighted to hear that Danny Lynch ain't going anywhere.
The dad bod.
Danny
will be back.
Lynch is the man. He's the heartthrob. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
look at Andrew. You can tell that affected Andrew. Is that the way you feel too, Andrew? Danny Lynch, very attractive to you?
I'm not even going to respond to that, Bob. This is a children's show.
But there will be a lot of people that would certainly be.
Well, people love Danny Lynch, man. He's a great, great young man here.
You know, Ladd Rhodes, I think, is one that has been a hot name to pop up in coaching carousels before. Mm-hmm. As well as Ben Brewer and Danny Lynch. I don't think Travis Creel is going anywhere. That is Oz's right-hand man.
Right. And great staff.
And the thing about Lynch is he's not where Keller Bradford was more of the pitching ilk. Mm-hmm. That's not Lynch's background necessarily is pitching. So I think if Oz has to
– Well, Danny essentially ran the defense. He's been running the defense actually since he was a senior in college. They didn't really want that to go away because he's really good at it. I mean, I know – A few years back, Oz would say he's like a coach on the field, but that's not smoke. I mean, it was kind of genuine. So,
but although Coach Ostrander juggles both the managing or head coach position and the pitching coach position, you know, he's been very open about the fact that Keller Bradford was very instrumental in helping him with the pitchers. So, if Danny Lynch, you know, does take that spot then how does that, if anything, does Coach Ostrander get help with the pitchers, or just how does it stack out, I guess, is what shape
yeah
up.
I don't know, because you do bring in another GA, so maybe that's the direction you go with getting that quote-unquote help. Who knows, but I think they're going to be fine staff wise no matter what.
They got a great Caleb Bradford's dad was a really successful major league pitcher, wasn't he, Kelly?
Yeah, he was featured in the movie Moneyball.
Yeah,
you know, not his real dad.
You going to ask Keller about that tomorrow?
No. I guess we could.
What his thoughts of his dad's portrayal in the movie were. I didn't really like it. I thought it was very – they made him look too Southern. I don't know how to explain it.
He's a really nice guy. I had a chance to meet him a couple of years ago. Really nice man.
And the thing is, too, is when you have somebody's last name, like Keller has Chad's last name, obviously two separate people, and he asked Chad, he would say the same thing. Keller's his own man. Just the fact that we're related should
they
have
did
nothing
have,
to do with any
they
of this.
Did have the similar throwing style, however.
Yeah, that sidearm.
Yeah. Right.
But they're still their own men, and I wonder if Keller ever gets tired, which we can ask him if he gets tired about hearing questions about.
Well, congratulations
his dad.
To him. That's that's a nice promotion. That's a good job. And an Andrew, pitching coach at Liberty.
I think so. I mean, like Liberty has been a team that, I mean, they've been in the tournament a good bit the last couple years. They've knocked on the door. And I'd argue, and a few years ago, they were known for their pitchings. So I think Keller's coming into a pretty good program. And Liberty's got money. That's another
they
thing.
They do. They are bow-legged with money over there, so they don't have to worry about anything.
All right, Andrew's going to be out for a while, fixed to take a nice trip. We hope you have a great time, and I look forward to getting you back here in a few weeks.
If any of the Southern Miss admin are listening, please don't let anything happen in the next 3 weeks. I'd appreciate it.
And you are coming back, correct?
Against my better judgment, yes.
Just in time for football season, Andrew.
Actually, I will be back by the time the MLB draft rolls around. So,
all right, well, good deal. Kelly and I'll hold the fort down until Andrew returns. Thank you for listening, as always. Southern Miss.
To the top.
Waiting. You do it at grocery stores, in traffic, and at the doctor's office. But what if you could skip the wait altogether? Introducing TrustCare Plus, a healthcare membership that makes feeling better even faster. Skip the waiting room and enjoy priority access at any TrustCare clinic. Sick kid? Text your care crew day or night. Get discounts on prescriptions and so much more. Wait no more. Feeling better just got a whole lot faster. Join TrustCare Plus today. Plans start from just $15 a month. Learn more at TrustCareHealth.com/plus.
A SuperTalk Mississippi Media Production.